It's Sunday, May the 24th, day 64. It's been a beautiful day, sunny, breezy and warm. A perfect bank holiday Sunday, you might say. Except, of course, that the notion of a bank holiday at the moment seems slightly daft, since most of the banks seem to be open only intermittently anyway. Apart from a 45-minute cycle ride, I spent the day at home reading and writing. I've got three books on the go at the moment. One is David Vincent's lovely and timely History of Solitude, recently published by Polity. A second is Philip Howard's book, Lie Machines, about the way our democracy is being attacked and undermined by foreign and domestic troll armies, deceitful bots, junk news operations, political operatives, and PR agencies. It's published by Yale and based on his research into computational propaganda. I remotely attended an online launch event for it, which, like all such events, did not leave enough time for questions and discussion. But I will have plenty of questions when I finish the book. And finally, since yesterday, I've been reading The Price of Peace by Zachary Carter, an imaginative new biography of John Maynard Keynes, which treats him not just as a great economist, but as an Enlightenment and enlightened thinker about democracy, money, and what constitutes a good life. But in a way, these books represent displacement activity because what I've really been trying unsuccessfully to do is not to think about contact tracing in relation to the coronavirus. This is not because contact tracing isn't important, but because what's happening in the UK is so infuriating that thinking about it is bad for one's blood pressure. Essentially, the UK is caught in a trap between, on the one hand, naive versions of what Evgeny Morozov calls tech solutionism, and on the other, the apparent incapacity of the British state to run a bath. Tech solutionism is a fanatical belief that to every social problem there exists a technical solution. In the case of coronavirus, it's a smartphone app, or now a range of possible apps. The existing versions of these apps all have all kinds of technical and data protection problems, but these pale into insignificance compared with the fact that if the great British public refuses to download and pay attention to them, then there might as well be apps for playing solitaire. What's needed to enable a safe relaxation of the lockdown is not so much smartphone apps as a formula that goes back at least to the Renaissance. Test, trace, and isolate. This requires people, in large numbers, who are thoroughly trained, resourced, and managed. They have to be well trained because contact tracing is a sensitive business, requiring tact and persistence in a democracy. It may be easier in a police state, but here there is still no law that, for example, requires every citizen to pick up their mobile phone whenever anybody rings. I don't know about you, but my phone is on silent most of the time, and in general I only answer calls from numbers that I recognise. If you want to get in touch with me, then email's your best bet. And in case you think I'm a technophobe, I've had a mobile phone since 1987, and I have a drawer full to prove it. Contact tracing is also very labour-intensive. Reports from the Indian state of Kerala, where they happen to be very good at it, suggests that it needs two tracers per new case of the virus per day. I've seen some of the detailed flowcharts of their tracking, and I can believe it. Now cut back to Whitehall, where Boris Johnson on Wednesday breezily announced that the UK will have world-beating contact tracing by June the 1st. At this point, one's bullshit detector buzzed loudly, because the minute you hear Johnson talking about world-beating anything, you know that A, he hasn't the faintest idea what it is, and B, it doesn't exist yet. And so indeed it proves. The Financial Times did a nice piece of digging the other day to see how it's going. They found that the new recruits hired by the UK government to trace the spread of coronavirus have spent the last few days mowing lawns, trimming hedges, and enjoying a mini heatwave, as technical problems and unexplained delays prevented them from starting work. Speaking just hours before Johnson told MPs on Wednesday that a world-beating track-and-trace scheme would be in place by June the 1st, one tracer, hired by the outsourcing firm Capita, told the FT he and many of his peers had been left in limbo, unable to get the technology to function on their own PCs and laptops. You can't speak to anybody, you can't see any data, There are massive communication issues, said the recruit, who asked to remain anonymous. It's a ludicrous situation. I've done my washing, I've done my ironing, I've got the cleanest house around, and we're all just out in the garden, he said. Another recent recruit described repeated delays to promised start dates, just 4 hours of training conducted remotely by PowerPoint, and a battle to access software containing databases of the names and phone numbers of people who need to be contacted. Information about how to solve IT problems is scarce, and communication from managers infrequent. Now, just in case anyone has forgotten, June the 1st is exactly 1 week away. So with a bit of luck, the UK will be tracking and tracing by Christmas.